Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. Today, Dr. Toni and I are going to be talking about menstrual cycle awareness. If for some reason you don't have a cycle or a period, you can follow the moon cycle. But I think you're going to find this really fascinating. There's different times of the month when we're more suited to do more analytical work or presentations or rest and recover. And this is all based on what's happening in our bodies and even with the moon too. So we're going to jump into that today. It's a topic that, you know, you're hearing more and more about in the media and in blogs. It's something that we kind of had our finger on, I think, Dr. Toni, as naturopathic doctors, because we've been aware of what happens through the menstrual cycle in terms of our hormones and what's going physiologically. But I've never really pieced it together to actually tailor my nutrition, my exercise, you know, when to get extra rest or when to be more social, in tune with the different phases. So I'm starting to become aware of that, and we'll uncover what we're doing as we talk to help maximize our energy and our productivity during different times of the month. So Dr. Toni, I can say Dr. Toni, but are you into menstrual cycle awareness or moon cycle awareness lately?
Well, you know, especially since, you know, a number of studies have come out and there's more and more information now, it's definitely something that I'm really looking into more and starting to pay attention to more than I have before. I can't say that I'm really full on jumping into, you know, living, you know, really living certain ways and really making sure I'm doing certain things at different times of the moon cycle. And I think as we get more and more information, there's more and more research on this, I think just it really makes sense for women to do this. And it's so interesting because, you know, this kind of idea of, you know, us changing with the moon cycles, like you said, Lisa, you know, it's something that we've kind of paid attention to as naturopathic doctors. But I think for most people, it's really kind of seemed like an old wives' tale or just a complete myth. But there really is research being done, and even really recent research this month in the journal Science Advances, there was two articles that published looking at how a full moon will impact people's sleep and then also impact our menstrual cycles. So I just think it's a really interesting topic, especially, you know, if you kind of think of what we've been doing for the past few decades when it comes to our hormones, and especially when it comes to hormonal birth control. I mean, I think as women, we've kind of had this idea that we've kind of gotten away from our cyclical nature. And we've kind of had this idea that, oh no, every day is just going to be the same as the next day. And my energy should be the same and my activity should be the same. And almost kind of trying to fit ourselves in the mold of more like men, where they more have a daily rhythm and really ignoring our monthly rhythm. Mm-hmm. Again, with more and more of this information to just really harness and connect with the power and just or even like the ebbs and flows of our natural cycle, so that we're not forcing ourselves to be one thing or another, but we're really just working with our bodies instead of fighting against it. It just really makes sense. Mm-hmm. So there's some real science behind this. More and more women are kind of tapping into it, right, Lisa?
They are. Yeah. They've actually, more sports teams are starting to look at this and incorporate it into training, rest and recovery, and nutrition schedules. So the U.S. women's soccer team, leading up to their win in 2019 of the World Cup, they were following their menstrual cycle patterns to see, or their coaches were following each individual player's patterns to see when is the best time to train them harder. You know, when their testosterone is more peaked around ovulation, when is it the best time for them to rest? Or even, is their body temperature going to be, you know, 0.5 degrees higher before their period? Are they going to be able to withstand higher heats? They're going to need to cool themselves down more quickly, drink more water, be more hydrated. So they really became aware of each woman's pattern and how to maximize their training, nutrition, rest, and recovery. And interestingly enough, they won the cup. So I'm sure that had something to do with it, because we really are cyclical beings. We have, as females, our hormonal cycle is about 28 days on average. It can be plus or minus several days on either end. And the moon cycle is about 29 days too. And if we were, you know, living in a natural environment, not exposed to artificial light, we were exposed to sunlight and moonlight when it was out, we would actually get our period when it's the new moon and ovulate when it's the full moon. And if you think about it, when you ovulate, you know, that may be the time where you feel great. Your energy can be higher. You're more magnetic. Things can be, you know, the energy can be a little frenetic, and that can happen around the full moon too. So things go a little bit wonky. You might be a little more awake and stimulated and have trouble sleeping, but this is starting to be incorporated in sports teams. I think companies are going to start to look at this. You know, I can imagine a world where we know what happens during our cycle or the moon cycle, and we know how to schedule certain tasks for work related to that so we can be more efficient and productive.
Absolutely. It's just one of those pieces of really like knowing yourself and being able to, again, tap into, you know, what's going to really either maximize your efficiency or your productivity, or just even, satisfaction during the day, whether it comes to work or even when it comes to home life too.
Definitely. Because I don't know about you, Tony, but yeah, when I have my flow or my period and I try to do, you know, hard work, whether it's mental work, a harder workout, I'm not going to feel so great. I might make mistakes. My brain's not as clear. I'll have to go back and it could take me twice as long to fix those mistakes. Whereas if I scheduled it in a time where I had better focus and concentration, I'm definitely going to be more efficient. And then, you know, if I do more gentle exercise when I have my period or my flow, like gentle yoga or walking, I'm going to have more energy to get through the day and not be so irritable and depleted.
Absolutely. And I've always noticed that, you know, there are times when my appetite just is higher, and that is typically, you know, kind of before my period. And, you know, after my period, my appetite tends to go down. So I've always kind of noticed that it goes up and down. It's not steady. So it is one of those things to, again, that you can pay attention to so that you can really nourish yourself and feed yourself the way that really makes sense at that time.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, before having Stuart, I really pushed through and lived in that like type A, you know, yang living. Yeah, where like you were saying, Tony, you get up, you know, you expect it to be, going to feel the same today as I did yesterday. I'm going to get this done, no matter how I'm feeling. You're kind of fighting with yourself. You might need to have some extra caffeine or sugar to keep you going in the day, and then maybe some, you know, wine at night to unwind because you might not be able to sleep. So I kind of pushed through 5 or 6 days a week before having Stuart. And then after having him, I just couldn't do that anymore. And I had to start to listen to my body. I even reduced my exercise significantly after having him because I was sleep deprived and felt like I was running a marathon every day, even though I wasn't. So I think that really forced me to step back and say, okay, how do I listen to my body and honor what it actually needs?
Absolutely. And it is, you know, it's so common for us as women to, you know, be pushing and really look at, okay, what do we need to do during the day, and almost being hard on ourselves for not, you know, feeling productive. I know I can go back into that place and, you know, in my mind and kind of be my own worst critic when it comes to, oh, I didn't get enough done and I have this huge list of things to do and that kind of thing. Instead of just really, again, kind of tackling what I can, you know, on the days when I'm more productive and, you know, being gentle with myself on the days that I'm not. And I think as we get older, I like to think that I'm just going to be more and more in tune and in touch with my body. And it just makes sense as we get into, you know, our perimenopausal menopausal days.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Yeah. So I don't quite follow the moon cycle, but I have a very regular cycle. Like my period comes about every 28 days or so. I used to follow it. And then I was about 2 weeks late during the pandemic, I guess from all the stress, or, you know, I could chalk it up to a whole host of things, but now I'm a bit shifted. So it was just the full moon here in Toronto. Today we're February 1st. It was just Wednesday of this week. I think it was the 28th or so of January. But I did end up getting my period this weekend. So I'm a little bit off now, but you may notice that you do get your period on the new moon and you might ovulate on the full moon, but you want to just understand your own natural rhythms and start to track them and make note of how do I feel, you know, when I first get my period, how do I feel around ovulation or if it's the full moon? So really that awareness is the first step. So then you know, okay, what can I schedule during those times of the month that are going to best suit me? You know, when you have your flow, I think a lot of us want to retreat and hide from the world. Right now you might be, you know, hiding in the bathroom of the car if you have your period because there's nowhere else to go. But we need that alone time, that time to recharge and check out. And, you know, if you're looking to ask for a raise or do a presentation, I'm now trying to, well, no, I don't ask for a raise, but if I need to network or do a presentation, I try to schedule it around when I'm ovulating as much as possible because your hormones are primed to be magnetic. People are going to listen to you. You're more likely to get what you want and you're more articulate as well. So we'll link up to a document in the show notes that you can start to use to track your rhythms based on the moon and or your cycle. And I think you'll start to find that really fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. Why don't we quickly just do a little refresher on what our hormones are that go through this kind of cyclical nature.
Yes.
As women, the first hormone that typically pops up when we think of our reproductive and our sex hormones and our cycling hormones is our estrogen, or probably the strongest form in the body, the kind of the most potent estrogen is called estradiol, and you can think of it like the growing hormone. It supports our reproduction and ovulation. It what it does is it thickens our uterine lining, really important for promoting the development of our breast tissue. It increases our bone density and our cartilage density. And that's where it is, you know, kind of lowest at the time when we're having our period and menstruating. And then it builds up so that it does get to its highest peak around ovulation. And then there's our progesterone, and that's more of our kind of relaxing hormone. And progesterone is really key for pregnancy, for supporting fertility. It supports our uterine lining and implantation, and kind of viability of, you know, a fertilized embryo and pregnancy. It's also been really known to be able to calm our nervous system and really support our sleep. And then a hormone that we don't often think about, but that's really important for us women, is testosterone. It is kind of like a vitality hormone. We still need, although lower amounts than men, we still need a certain amount of testosterone. And that's going to not only support reproduction, but also our muscle strength, our bone density, blood cell production, and maybe even the most important of all, really supporting our libido.
Mm-hmm. Those are, the three key hormones. And as you mentioned, Tony, that estrogen, progesterone, all of our hormones basically tank, and that triggers our flow so we can feel our crappiest thing, because our hormones can make us feel good if they're released in the right times and the right amounts. And then that estrogen peaks before ovulation, testosterone peaks around ovulation. So you're going to feel stronger. Your libido can go up. You're more fertile. So your body is saying, yes, let's do this. I'm ready. I'm able to have a baby. Let's make this happen. And then then, you know, in perimenopause, well, your progesterone's supposed to peak in the second half of your cycle after ovulation before you get your period, but there can be low progesterone. So then you have that irritability, you might be anxious, you have a hard time sleeping, you can have estrogen dominance or too high estrogen in the first part of the cycle, you might get that breast tenderness, you might have more weight in kind of the hip area too. So, you know, you really want to listen to what's happening in your body during the month, because that can also tell you about different imbalances as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, when, and especially kind of going through the menstrual phases, or even, you know, thinking about the moon phases, again, you know, like you said, Lisa, our hormones are kind of at the lowest levels when we're having our period, when we're menstruating. Really a great time to just rest, hibernate, spend some time alone, or again, you know, kind of start to create, you know, do some writing, be in nature, kind of, you know, just stepping back a little bit, so that you're not necessarily getting as irritated by kind of, demands from family or from work or anything like that. And then as our hormones increase, you know, as we're kind of getting into more of the follicular phase, or you can think about the also being like, oh, the moon waxing. And that's when our energy can start to typically increase. And you do feel a little bit more energized, have the energy to take on new projects, to really kind of start to plan, organize, you know, read, research, or even have more energy to perform physical tasks. And this is also typically when our libido even starts to increase more because of that increase in hormones as well. So, and you, like you said, Lisa, as you're kind of building towards ovulation, you know, this is where it can be a really great idea to really schedule in more networking events or different invites, connect with people, you know, present, do workshops, that kind of thing, because again, that energy is really increasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can feel more playful. You might want to push your workouts a little bit more. You have more energy to maybe do a little bit more high intensity, and that testosterone is higher. So you are going to be able to build more muscle mass from those workouts. You're going to get the benefits more than if you were trying to do that during, you know, when you have your flow or early follicular phase. So really listen to your body and see what it needs during those times. And then if, just as a side note too, if you're on the birth control pill, you're not going to ovulate, right? And your hormones are kind of overridden by the birth control pill, but some people still notice some cyclical changes. So really tune into that. See if the moon affects you as well, but really pay attention to how you feel. But you might not notice all of these shifts. You might notice just some of them, and that's okay too. And then after that ovulation phase, so this is typically, you know, day 17 to when you get your period. So if day one is the first day of flow, this is day 17 to 28, and this is the luteal phase or the waning moon. So your hormones were at their highest and then they start to fall again. So you start to feel yourself going inward again. You might start to get irritated by those external demands, like, oh, don't ask me to clean up. Oh, don't ask me for what's dinner, you know. You might get annoyed by that. You might be getting some PMS symptoms. And when you get PMS, this can be a sign that you may not be honoring your natural rhythms. Like, let's say you tried to push through the first 3 weeks of your cycle, and now, you know, you didn't have that time to recharge, and now you're feeling totally depleted and annoyed by that. The PMS can be heightened, and the hormone imbalances obviously contribute to that as well. But as you're approaching your period, you want to schedule some breaks for yourself, some time for self-care. And it's also a great time to like check off things off your to-do list that you started in that, you know, time after your flow stopped, when you started to create or start projects. Now you're kind of finishing them. They're coming to completion, so that when you get your flow, you can actually check out for a few hours, a day or two, if you're able to schedule that. And, you know, looking at saying no to things if it's just not going to serve you.
Yeah, it's a really good time to really look at your boundaries. And if you don't have some firm boundaries, to start really setting some firm boundaries. And again, practicing saying no, because again, that rest and self-care is just really, you know, really key, really important.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, light plays such a role too in this rhythm, right? So you want to look at exposing yourself to bright light in the day. So getting out mm-hmm. in the sunshine, we've talked about using light boxes, even if it's not sunny, you know, getting outside in the morning, using a light box in the morning as well while you're working or doing chores or cleaning the kitchen, whatever it may be, you can have it on in the background. And then some people even expose themselves to moonlight when it's the new moon and the full moon. It's hard to do here in Toronto, because then you'll get all the, you know, artificial light from the street lights. So I don't necessarily recommend that, because you're not going to make melatonin if you're seeing those lights, but that's really key. And then dimming your lights before you go to bed, using red light bulbs in your room if you're reading, or blue blocker glasses if you're watching TV. So really trying to honor the natural sun cycle as well. And when it's getting dark outside, try to mimic that inside your house too.
Absolutely. And that's like so key, especially for those of us more kind of in northern cities, but even, you know, not so northern, but still kind of somewhat far away from the equator, you know, southern United States and that kind of thing. That's where, again, it's still really important to pay attention to, you know, what kind of light that you're getting in, and really supporting yourself. But yeah, the more, you know, you're in a place where you experience the seasons, you may really really notice, you know, some of the things that we talked about in terms of the cyclical nature. This really can fit also with seasons as well. You know, you can kind of think about the menstrual phase or the new moon almost being like winter, where again, more time for hibernation and rest, with spring more like the waxing moon phase or the follicular phase, where our energy is increasing, summer kind of like ovulation and the full moon, where we are our most expressive, outward, playful, and fall more kind of being, you know, like the luteal phase or the waning moon, when our estrogen and other hormone levels are kind of starting to fall, and we can kind of go more inward, and it's important to schedule that self-care and breaks.
Mm-hmm. So recognizing, yeah, in that 4-week cycle of your menstrual cycle or the moon cycle, you're actually cycling between the four seasons. So you can remember kind of how you feel. That's a great way to put it, Tony. So think of it that way. And then some people come up with ways to honor the cycles of the moon or the phases of their menstrual cycle. I've heard of even people putting out glasses of water, not in the winter, I guess, but out when it's a full moon and letting it bask in the moonlight, you know, for a few hours or overnight, and then drinking that. Hopefully no animals are dropping anything in there, but I thought that was interesting, you know, is that energy of the full moon having any effect? I don't know, but other people will with the new moon. It's kind of like the new year, right? Like a new start. So what mm-hmm. do you want to invite into your life over the month? What do you want to get rid of or shed? Like you're shedding your menstrual blood. They might write down some toxic thoughts or things that they want to get rid of and rip it up, for example. So you can look into different ways to honor those phases. And there's a lot of great, even on the Insight Timer app, which is free, they have different free meditations or discussions if it's the full moon, the new moon, different types of breathing exercises. So you can start to take part in some of those to become more aware of how you're feeling.
Very cool. And some of you out there may be kind of thinking, I don't know what is going on with my hormones. Maybe I'm not following the phases, or I'm not even sure what's happening. You know, there are some options in terms of testing your hormone levels to see actually what your hormones are doing. And, you know, it's definitely something that we've talked about before, but even just to give you an idea of some options available, especially when you're doing kind of any lab test as an idea, as a kind of a snapshot in time, it's important to pay attention to where you are in your cycle. You know, when did you last have your period? Because when you're doing certain hormone testings in the blood or even in the saliva or urine, it really makes sense to often test in your luteal phase, especially if you're wanting to really get a good sense of what your progesterone is doing in that second half of your cycle. Whereas sometimes, you know, looking at a blood test for estrogen, it may make more sense to test it in day 3, especially if you're really wanting to get a good sense of your kind of levels of fertility. But again, it with blood, it can be a bit challenging because it doesn't always necessarily accurately measure your tissue level hormones. You know, it's looking at what's circulating in your blood and does that actually really link up with what is actually active in your body and active in your tissues and your cells. So there's, you know, some questionability of that way. But that kind of test is really, you know, best more for your thyroid hormones, like we've talked before in our episode on thyroid that we can link to in our show notes as well. Oftentimes, you know, as naturopathic doctors, we'll also or prefer to kind of lean over to testing hormone levels in the saliva or urine because they typically will measure and give us a better idea of what your free or active hormone levels are. And that's where, you know, again, the timing of it makes, can make a difference. Sometimes even it can make sense to do snapshots of your hormone levels, whether it's saliva or urine, you know, throughout the month to get a sense of what's going on with your cycles, especially if you're irregular or you know, again, kind of not following a set pattern, with your periods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we both commonly do hormone testing, saliva, urine being the most common, except for, you know, thyroid would be blood. And yeah, it is interesting because you actually express hormones in your saliva that have left the bloodstream and are having an action at the tissue level because the bloodstream is basically the highway for the hormones. So they have to get off the highway to then go have the action. So they're really great to do the saliva and urine test to assess that. And like you said, Tony, yeah, you can do like a month of tracking your hormones. If your rhythm's totally off, if you have a fairly natural or normal rhythm, then you can just collect usually between day 19 and 21 of your cycle for saliva and urine, and the appropriate reference ranges are used for that. But if you feel like I have no clue what's going on, it's really irregular, you're probably going to want to look at more than just a few points in time. You might want to look at over the month testing.
Absolutely, for sure. And you know, definitely the bonus of us being naturopathic doctors, I always feel so thankful and grateful that I have so many different tools in my toolbox to support my patients when it comes to our hormones, and looking at all of the different systems that impact our hormones too. So, you know, while, you know, bioidentical hormone support or desiccated thyroid support can be sometimes indicated. There's a lot of great support that can be used with different herbs, nutrition, acupuncture, but even just really like focusing on having a good foundation for your hormones and a good kind of soil for your hormones when it comes to, you know, how your liver is functioning, supporting your digestive system, supporting your sleep, looking at, you know, levels of stress, and how to really manage and cope with that as well.
Because we do recognize in naturopathic medicine, it's like a hormonal triad, if you will. You can think of it like a triangle with three points. And on one point are the ovaries or your female hormones. On the other point of the triangle is your thyroid. And on the third point are your adrenal glands. So they all need to be working together for you to have optimal health in all of those areas. And if you're strained in one of those areas, most likely there's an imbalance in one or the other two as well. So we approach it from supporting your adrenals and stress, supporting the thyroid, making sure that's working optimally, and supporting it from the female hormone level as well. And as you mentioned, Tony, those foundations are so key. If your liver is not working, you're not going to detoxify the excess or bad types of hormones. We also detoxify some of our hormones in our gut. So it's all related. We know what sleep and stress can do to those systems as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, just a really good starting off point is, again, just, you know, tracking your cycle, tracking your period, and paying attention to how you're feeling. So, again, whether it's in a simple, you know, app on your phone or whether you actually, you know, really journal and kind of pay attention to those patterns, that's a really good place to start.
Mm-hmm. And we'll share that menstrual cycle, moon cycle tracking document. So you can print that off if you like. Check out the show notes. That's another great way if you're wanting to do more pen to paper and you're sick of being on an app or a computer, which is where I'm at right now. Or even in your calendar, right? You can see the moon phase on your calendar, right? Day one, the first day you get your flow. And then just make maybe jot a little note or two on your calendar hanging on the wall about how you feel for energy and mood. You know, if there was anything off with your sleep or anything else, that can be really simple as well. And then let your partner know, and they can be aware of, oh, I better, you know, leave them alone, give them a little bit more room during this time, or this is the time when we're going to schedule our date night because you're going to be more social. So you can bring them on board and even ask them what they notice in regards to your cycle, as long as it doesn't make you more irritable if they're saying, oh my gosh, you're so, you know, you like get so upset so easily. Well, yeah, you can have that conversation with your partner, but tread lightly.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because, you know, I've never necessarily thought to share exactly where I am in my cycle with my partner, but it can make such a difference for them to really get a sense of where you're at. It can be a really nice check-in. And I've definitely heard stories of a number of partners really paying attention to, you know, what their partner's menstrual cycle is doing. So
yeah, it's worth it. Yeah, it can only help, right? That awareness can only help. And then the males may have a bit of their own cycle. Typically, we think they have more of a 24-hour cycle. So they can kind of get up and do the same thing in the morning, work out hard when their testosterone is high. But they can have, like, it might be several months of a cycle. So, but they can also tap into that and see how they feel and what impacts their health as well and share it with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's switch gears away from cyclical living. Although I don't know, maybe you have a supermom moment, Lisa, that's actually kind of connected to cyclical living.
It kind of is. So as I mentioned, TMI, too much information, but I just got my period. So I really like prioritized trying to like read a little bit this weekend. I really tailored my workouts to being more like gentle yoga, less intense workouts, more walking. So that felt good because then I didn't feel so drained by the end of the day, especially having Stuart home on the weekend. I wanted to have as much energy for him as possible. So that made a difference. And then it's my birthday tomorrow and I scheduled a massage. So I have a massage therapist right near here. She's very good. She's got a filter, the visor, the full body, you know, protection, but I'm going to get that. And I took the day off of work. Pete took the afternoon off, and then we're going to pick up Stuart later in the afternoon and go skating at a local outdoor rink. So I'm really trying to listen to my body and work with it, not against it.
That sounds lovely, Lisa. That sounds like just a really great way of, you know, really taking care of yourself and really celebrating yourself.
Definitely. So I hope you all can do that too, not only for your birthday, but, you know, at least once a week, once a month, something for yourself. So I'm excited about that. And Tony, I know you're doing a great job and you're a super mom, but can you dig deep and think of a mama mess up?
Yeah, I can dig deep and think of a mama mess up because it was just yesterday and last night that we had a little bit of a mess up at our place. It was actually quite lovely on the weekend, you know, here in Calgary. We had had a cold snap, but, you know, it was warming up. So, but I wasn't feeling so hot. So, you know, in the afternoon when it was kind of time for Frankie to get outside and she was kind of not wanting to go, I, you know, just left it in daddy's hands and I didn't force her to go outside and didn't, you know, really have him force her to go outside. And then, you know, she was wanting to have a nap at like 4 o'clock. She's been starting to kind of drop her naps in the afternoon, but she was tired at like 4 o'clock. So it was like, okay, we let her sleep for a little bit. And while she was, and I really didn't let her sleep long. I made sure to really wake her. It really took something to wake her up in like, you know, 20 minutes. But then she managed to go to bed okay. But of course, she was up at 3 o'clock in the morning, like wanting to read a book. Oh. So it totally impacted her sleep. Like I knew it would. Yeah. Just one of those things, right?
I know. We keep our fingers crossed sometimes. We're like, maybe it won't happen. Maybe it won't happen. It's like, that's why we get them outside. That's why we follow the schedule, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even and even, you know, after her nap, I made sure that she went outside, and she even like almost literally ran around the block two times. Nice. So I was really hoping that that was going to be, that was probably like the trick to make sure that she went to bed okay, but the waking up didn't prevent that. Oh well.
You're still doing a great job. I know sometimes like we can't let them honor their own rhythm. Sometimes we have to force yes. their rhythm when they're kids, right? So yes. It didn't work. Sorry, Frankie. You tried for the day, so that's a super mom moment, but it backfired.
Oh well, right? Learning. I'll remember this for next time. So, Lisa, do you have a mama must have that you want to share with everyone this week? Like what are you really depending on and loving right now?
Yeah, well, I guess I should say it's kind of funny. It takes something off my plate, but actually puts something on my plate, literally. So we order once a week from Skip the Dishes or DoorDash or Uber Eats, and we find some really good places to get food from. You know, we try to order local as much as possible, which is, you know, pretty much what you get, but we like getting, you know, sushi, poke bowls, Korean food sometimes. So we usually order in on Sunday nights, and then we're going to order in tomorrow night for my birthday. Pete made an amazing meal on Saturday night with an air fryer. Oh yeah, that'll be one of my mama must-haves next time. But nice. We had some nice fish tacos, you know, not breaded, but so that was delicious. But we're just going to take it easy. And after skating, we're just going to get food delivered. So that's my mama must-have, having somebody else make food or meals. And how about you, Tony? What's your mama must-have?
Oh, know what? My mama must have for this week is, again, a show on Netflix. I'd been really putting off watching the episodes from the Goop Lab with Gwyneth Paltrow. You know, some people may already have an idea of what they think about Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop, but I thought, let me check it out. So, I watched one and I was kind of hooked. I really, really enjoyed it. They have some great episodes on like cold plunges. You know, they, a group of them, you know, work with Wim Hof and look at the impact of cold hydrotherapy on, you know, our mental health, our physical health. And they did an episode on psychedelic psychotherapy, which I think is really interesting, you know, to deal with trauma and mental health and other issues that way. They even have a great episode on a woman who, provides workshops to have women learn how to have an orgasm.
I'd love to get her on our show.
Yeah, right? Just really interesting stuff. So, and you can kind of see people going through these different, you know, kind of events and exercises. And then they talk to, you know, the experts and kind of the, to look at kind of the science behind some of these things. So, and really nice little short episodes too. So it's really easy to, you know, watch an episode early in the evening and, you know, not be stuck on the TV for too late.
Yeah, and you're learning something. And I haven't checked those out yet, but I've been wanting to. We did cancel Netflix, but I think we're going to have to bring it back. So for several reasons, as you mentioned last week, or the 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
exactly. And then, another kind of must-have, given that it's now February, the month for Valentine's Day. And I posted this on our Facebook. There's this great idea to, you know, put a heart on the door of the bedroom for your kids. And even Lisa, you were talking about doing the same for your partner. You put a heart on the door every day in February, just writing a little note of something that you love and appreciate about them. I thought that was just a really lovely thing to do. So, you know, I'm definitely taking that on, especially, you know, again, since we're kind of stuck inside more than we normally may have. Again, your kids and your partner may really appreciate that. I think it's a nice little project for February.
Yeah, I love that you shared that. And I did that this morning. I was up earlier. So I put the hearts out, one for Pete, one for Stuart, and they loved it. And Stuart even was giving me away his book. He gave me a bookmark. He was so happy. He's like, thank you, mommy. And then he wanted to make a heart for me. So he drew on another heart and stuck it on the door for me. So that was really sweet. So it was a great way to spread the love. So thanks for sharing that, Tony.
Oh yeah, love it. You know, it's nice to, again, have those times where we can really be mindful and grateful and really express our love too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great exercise. And then, Tony, what do you have in the works right now for your patients, your client base? Are you offering any seminars or workshops coming up?
Oh, yeah. So my next hypnobirthing online class starts February 28th for couples who are expecting and who want something a little bit different from their birth experience, or, you know, to really, you know, relax, get some great techniques to have a nice, smooth, easy birth. So that can be, you know, you can find the links for that on my hypnobirthingcalgary.com website. How about you, Lisa?
Oh, great. So I am opening the next enrollment for the Wild Collective Toronto, although you don't have to be in Toronto because the sessions are virtual right now. And I have one more info session. So this episode will be dropping Thursday, February the 4th. So it's that evening at 7 o'clock. So if you go to wildcollectivetoronto.com/signup, you can sign up for the enrollment. Or if you go to wildcollectivetoronto.com/info session, you can sign up for the info session. If you listen to this after that date, still reach out to me because you can still potentially get in if you're in time. But I'm really excited to be launching my next enrollment. The first group has been amazing and we're only 5 months in, 5 more to go.
Oh, super fun, Lisa. That's awesome. So thanks everyone for joining us today. Again, you can find our show notes at perimenopausalmamas.com. You can email us, connect with us on Facebook and Instagram. We would love for you to subscribe. And especially if you like this episode, leave us a review and a 5-star rating. That way other perimenopausal mamas can find us too. So stay safe and healthy, everyone.
Have a great week. Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.